Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. We're starting the third week of the season that the Christian Church calls Advent, a time of preparation for the great feast of Christmas. The coming of Jesus, the Son of God, in human form into our world to share our life, understand our struggles and our sufferings, and ultimately lead us to a better, everlasting life, is often described as light driving out the darkness. So it's appropriate that today we begin with something a little different, a short festival of light that links us with the church in Sweden. Tomorrow, December the 13th, the Christian Church celebrates the Feast of St. Lucy, a day to remember Lucia of Syracuse, a young girl who, when Christians were being persecuted in the 4th century, died a martyr's death because she wouldn't give up her Christian faith. According to legend, she brought food to Christians hiding in the Roman catacombs, wearing a candle-lit wreath on her head to light her way, so leaving her hands free to carry as much food as possible. Her feast day is celebrated as a festival of light, pointing to the arrival of the light of Christ on Christmas Day. St. Lucy's Day is celebrated widely in Scandinavia, where Lucy is called Sancta Lucia, and she's represented as a young girl in a white gown with a red sash and a crown or wreath of candles on her head. Our short service of light comes from Birmingham Cathedral, in partnership with the Ex-Cathedra Academy of Vocal Music and the Swedish Church. It's actually a recording of the cathedral service made on St. Lucy's Day last year, which enables us to enjoy it today. The Lucia soloist in this recording is Caris Burden, a member of Ex-Cathedra, and my thanks to her mum, Anna, who made this recording available to us. Anna Burden will be remembered by many on the island for her time working with Christian Aid, when she travelled to Burundi with our own Harry Owens, supporting him as he set up some very successful beekeeping projects in one of the world's poorest countries. The music in this service includes Sancta Lucia, a traditional Neapolitan composition, Silent Night by Franz Gruber, and a lovely Swedish carol. The English translation of one of the verses is: O you, the star over Bethlehem, let your soft light light up with hope and peace every home and every house. In every heart, lonely and dark, carry a gentle light beam, a beam of God's loving light, this sacred Christmas time. The service is led by the Very Reverend Matt Thompson, Dean of Birmingham Cathedral, and the Swedish Church is represented by Reverend Maria Thorsen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, on behalf of Birmingham Cathedral, I'm delighted to welcome you to this online celebration of Sancta Lucia, this joyous celebration of light in the heart of our wintry darkness. For this year, I'm so glad that we are able to enjoy Sancta Lucia together via this recording. In particular, I'm delighted to welcome the Reverend Maria Thorsen, who will give the address, and to welcome back Ex-Cathedra, who will delight us with their beautiful music throughout the service. We have come together in the presence of God our Father, to rejoice in the gift of Jesus, to remember Lucia, who gave her life as a witness. As we prepare to welcome the light of the world at Christmas, we give thanks that we can hear and receive the story and message of Christ's coming, and we respond by offering to God our thanksgiving in prayer and song. Let us pray. Holy Jesus, by being born one of us and lying humbly in a manger, you show us how much God loves the world. Let the light of your love, which Lucia reflected, always shine in our hearts until we reach our home in heaven and see you on your throne of glory. Amen.
Thank you. reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Here ends the reading.
In the 4th century in Sicily lived a young woman named Lucia. At this time, Christians were being persecuted very severely. Lucia had decided to remain unmarried to be able to serve God even more. Still, there was a man who did not want to leave her alone. Finally, he gave up. But in his disappointment and anger, he reported her to the authorities. She was arrested and brought to justice. She was accused of being a Christian. She refused to renounce her Christian faith and was sentenced to be burned at the stake, but the fire turned away from her. Finally, the executioner stuck his sword in Lucia and she was dead. The Lucia character is filled with symbols. The white robe is the christening gown, the symbol of purity, the forgiveness given to us by God. The crown is a symbol of the halo, the light that radiates from those who lived really close to God. And it is also a tribute to the firmness and strength of Lucia's way of life. The historical Lucia became a martyr. She was killed because she held on to Christ. This is what the red ribbon around the waist reminds us of. It is a symbol of the blood. Lucia's name is from the Latin word lux, which means the luminous. Lucia is a messenger of Christ, and the light is a reminder of Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world." Even when it is dark in life, God is there as a light in the darkness, a light that brings hope, a light that will always shine for us, whatever happens.
Festival of Light to celebrate the Feast of St. Lucy, or Sancta Lucia, and that was a partnership between Birmingham Cathedral, the Ex-Cathedra Academy of Vocal Music, and the Swedish Church. And the Feast of St. Lucy is tomorrow, December the 13th. Software developers AFD, with their headquarters at Mountain View Innovation Centre on the Jerby Road, are known worldwide as the postcode people. But working at AFD is more than just a job. The directors and their staff of over 50 people are dedicated to one of their most important company objectives, which is to generate profits and to use them creatively in the relief of suffering, the improvement of society, and the furtherance of the Christian gospel. And directors David and Alison Doricott do this every year by sharing a significant proportion of their company profits with charities who carry out important work here on the Isle of Man, in the UK and overseas. During this year alone, David and Alison, alongside individual staff team members, have nominated well over 90 charities to receive donations totalling almost £2 million. These gifts will go to support a very wide range of charities, including those involved in medical care and research, disaster relief, youth work and work amongst those with disabilities, helping to fight human trafficking and supporting its victims, and protecting those living under persecution. Earlier this month, David and Alison Doricott and the whole of the AFD workforce hosted an evening to celebrate all that's been achieved by their charitable giving over the past year. It was a chance to learn and to be inspired, and at the end of the evening, I recorded this conversation with David, starting with a reminder of just why he does this, what moves him and his wife Alison to this spectacular generosity.
Well, for 24 years now, we've felt the need, the desire, the drive to use our profits creatively for the relief of suffering, for improving society, and for the expansion of the Christian gospel. Of course, the money doesn't just come from what I do, or Alison, but from a team now of nearly 50 people who are best in class at what we do in the world. We deal with those funny things called postcodes, but without them, you wouldn't have any political accountability, you wouldn't have your deliveries, your tests might not end up at the right lab, all of those things. So we actually, during the last 18 months, 20 months of chaos, our products have been as vital as frontline health services because we've kept the country moving, the country's moving. And while some of our customers have taken a nosedive, so the travel industry, the hospitality industry uses a lot and they've had a really horrid time. But at the same time, the way that we procure the things we need have changed dramatically, really, really quickly. In just a few weeks, people who'd never bought online, it was the only way they could get the shopping. And, of course, the driver behind that, whether it's the Royal Mail Postie, the Isle of Man Post, or whether it's the big carriers that are also in that space, they're all using postcodes that come through Mountain View. And our team with over, I think we counted it to over 400 years worth of experience, not just in me, but they are the go-to experts in the British Isles now for consolidating that data, packaging it, making it usable. On its own, it's interesting to us postcode anoraks, but it needs to work when you put a postcode into a website, when you're booking in as a student into a college, when you're booking into a hospital, when you're trying to work out which areas of a city need special help to help their students get better education. All of those things are tied to the postcode. It's a unique, special piece of data. It's unique to Britain, but it works wonderfully for society, and we're right there in the middle of it.
Your wife, Alison, said a very lovely thing in her presentation tonight, and she said that you do what you do because of your deeply rooted Christian faith. That's why you do what you do, but you don't try to force that faith on your staff or on anybody who comes within your orbit. You're happy to talk about it, as she said, to give the reasons for the hope that you have. But you're very gentle and very respectful about everybody else's belief, or in fact non-belief, aren't you?
The business started in 1983 as a direct conviction that we should start the business as an expression of our faith. So we didn't start the business to make money. We didn't start the business for any particular reason other than we felt a strong calling to express our Christian faith in practical ways. There are some people that think that Christian faith should take place in churches. Well, yes, okay, but actually the Christian faith is much more wide-ranging. It covers the whole of creation. It begins with the story of creation. We're reminded that Jesus is at the centre of creation in the Gospels, and we're also reminded at the end of the Bible that Jesus will come again to be king of creation. So why wouldn't we bring our Christian faith into the workplace, whether that's computers, whether it's the classroom, whether it's the operating theatre? Christians are all over the world in these front-of-house places. Sometimes they're not affirmed for the fact that it's their faith that placed them there. People have a vocation to be a teacher, a doctor, a nurse, a scientist, a relief worker. All of these convictions are rooted in faith. Now, that isn't to say there aren't good people around, and we certainly don't look down our nose at people who don't share our faith. But the Christian faith is the most exciting news that anybody ever heard, as far as I'm concerned. We're just about to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Well, how great is that? God himself comes down and lives around in the limitations of a Christian baby in order that he can redeem us to himself. The Bible tells me that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. That's the story of Jesus coming to earth and dying on a cross. Why wouldn't I want to share that with someone? It's a bit like saying to starving people, I know where there's a big pile of food, but actually not telling them. One respects other points of view, but at the same time, I think Alison and I have just wondered if we're not quite as courageous as we could be in saying, well, if you ask me, I'll tell you.
The way these charities are chosen, you encourage your staff to nominate either a charity that's closer to their heart, one that they're involved in, one that perhaps they volunteer with. And so you get a great diversity, don't you, in the causes that you support?
The ability to share the joy of giving that Alison referred to in our wrap-up message tonight is that these are the guys whose hard work, whose energy, whose long hours in some cases, whose inspiration, and in some cases their sharing of our faith journey has created the wealth that we're distributing. While sometimes we're able to give quietly and without a lot of razzmatazz, it is important that the people who did this power of work, amazing quality of products and services we deliver, actually feel a part of what we're doing. And I know from speaking to many of them that they have deep joy about this. Some of our staff would rather come to our charity night than our staff Christmas party. And that is really powerful. And in some cases, our sales team, who have to go and face large corporations, some of whom themselves are not-for-profit organisations, respect the fact that we are not just creating wealth for personal benefit, but that we're actually following through on high ideals, whether or not we are men of clay in some cases and frail in others, but nevertheless at least strive to make the world a better place, to make our employment a better place, make our site at Mountain View a better place, and as we've heard tonight in a couple of cases, some very difficult, disturbing parts of the world a better place. And better place in those terms are, I would say, they're even more than life or death stories.
And the individual amounts that you give to organisations are significant. They really do make a difference. You've always said that you want to give enough money to liberate these groups to do what they are best at so that they can concentrate on that and have to worry a little less about the actual funds. So all the amounts are significant. They're different, yes, but significant, aren't they?
Yes, fundraising is a big drain on many charities. And if you're really intentional, and maybe some of your listeners here will be themselves challenged by the intentionality of what we do, if you really want to make a difference and you've got money in the bank, the easiest money you can get results from is the money that's already there. It's fairly easy to do fundraising, but often it requires a huge amount of effort for a modest return. In our case, our intentionality is, of course, the whole business. I mean, the reason we work ourselves in our declining years is to take the joy of giving that Alison referred to.
David, your site here, Mountain View Innovation Centre, where your businesses are all based, is becoming much more known and enjoyed by the local community. But looking around, I'm seeing a site that you're developing very subtly, very beautifully. There's evidence of very organised planting. You've got some wonderful outdoor sculptures. Is this just something that's quietly going on in the background that you're doing here?
Back to the whole of creation dynamic of true Christian discipleship. Everything about what we do should be reflecting the glory of the Lord. When you're given the gift of a beautiful site coming down our drive, which more or less faces due south to Sky Hill and North Barul, you have already got the most amazing sculpture in the landscape. And to celebrate that by adding to it with creativity, with planting, with trees, and of course trees attract birds and insects in the flowers, it's just such an amazing privilege to work here. And tonight we've had loads of guests from the UK. Sadly, some of them only came in the dark, but even they got it that this is just such an amazing place. And having been given this gift, like any other gift, we just want to share it as much as we possibly can in a sensible way. And it's delightful to us that on this site we have our middle core innovation team doing techie things on computers. We have the kindergarten at Grasshopper's Nursery, and we have, shall I call them, the ladies who lunch, who join us every day in Babbage's Bistro. And that whole of life, whole of environment, whole of technology is part of the theology, if you want to use that word, of a God who is into everything, because he made everything and he cares about everything. People, animals, the environment, the ecology, whatever you like, it's all his and he's coming back for it.
From him you came, helpless pain. Entered our world, your glory reigned. Not to be served, give your life that
Thank you to my guest, David Doricott, Managing Director of the AFD Group, explaining what moves him and his wife, Alison, to partner with organisations and see them flourish in their charitable work. And now we have our notice board, and once again, it's packed with carol services, christingles and concerts, where everyone will be made most welcome. Following government advice, people coming to church are requested to please wear a face covering. For their part, churches are making sure that hand sanitizer is readily available, that ventilation is good with plenty of fresh air circulating, and there'll usually be scope to be socially distant if you wish. So that the information doesn't become confusing, I'm going to talk about services today and in the week up to and including next Saturday, the 18th. But there are lots of carol services next Sunday, and I'll have all the details of them on our sundown notice board tonight from 9 o'clock. So let's go back to today, and Bride Methodist Sunday School Nativity Service is this afternoon at 2:30. This will be presented by the Sunday School children and followed by light refreshments. You're invited to a quintessential Christmas at Lazare Church and Northern Arts Centre this afternoon at 3 o'clock. An afternoon of festive songs and carols with Matthew Quinn and guests. There'll be light refreshments available in the interval, admission is free, and donations will be welcome for the upkeep of the church. The cool Methodist church in Braddon has lots to offer in the next few days. First, there's a service this afternoon at 4:30, which will include a baptism. Then the cool annual carol service will be on Tuesday the 14th of December at 7 o'clock and will include special items by the young people and soloist Christine Bragazzi, and it'll be followed by refreshments. Then the following day, Wednesday the 15th at 1:15, there is a shorter carol service, again followed by refreshments. This is specially timed to be convenient for everyone working on the nearby business park to come along during their lunch hour. Back to today and to Ramsay and Our Lady, Star of the Sea, the Roman Catholic Church, on the Prom near the Lifeboat House in Ramsay, invite you to their Advent Carol service this evening at 5 o'clock. There'll be mulled wine, mince pies and other festive treats after the service. Glenmay Methodist Chapel have a candle-lit carol service tonight at 6:30, with tea and mince pies to follow. And another for this evening, Manx Voices will be in St George's Church in Douglas tonight at 7:30, presenting Musique Chorale pour Noël, concert of very special Christmas music. Admission, including refreshments, is £7. Monday the 13th of December and Peel Methodist Chapel invite you to a carol concert with guest soloists and the Sheehan and Mellish Choir. That's tomorrow at 7:30. On Tuesday the 14th, in St Andrew's United Reformed Church by the St Ninian's traffic lights on Glen Crutchery Road here in Douglas, it's the very popular Gateway Carol Service. It starts at 7:30 on Tuesday, featuring the Manx Youth Band and the Gateway Choir. Kirkmichael Chamber Orchestra have a concert of festive favourites, Christmas carols and popular classics. It's in Kirkmichael Parish Church on Wednesday the 15th at 7:30. Free admission with a retiring collection for church funds. Christmas Live, an outdoor retelling of the Christmas story in words, music, dance and drama, is this Thursday evening, the 16th, at 7 o'clock in Villiers Square, just near the 1886 bar here in the centre of Douglas. It's free, but you do need a ticket so that numbers can be safely controlled. And the tickets are available online. Just go to christmaslive.im to claim yours. It's all free. An evening of festive music and verse will be given by the Talis Consort on Friday the 17th at 7:30 at Lazare Church and Northern Arts Centre. The concert will be repeated on Saturday the 18th of December at 7:30 in St Mary's Roman Catholic Church on Hill Street, Douglas. Admission is free at both events. Orisdale Chapel near Kirkmichael are celebrating Christmas with carols, Bible readings and fellowship this Friday the 17th, starting at 6:30. St Mary de Balaf, the parish church on Station Road in Balaf, invite you to two special services next weekend. First, there's the Balaf Village Nativity on Friday the 17th at 6:30 in the parish church. Hear the children sing as the Christmas story is told. Meet the donkeys, and a gentleman dressed all in red might be there too. And then next Sunday the 19th, Balaf Parish Church have carols by candlelight, also starting at 6:30, with special guest soloist Jane Main, and that'll be followed by mulled wine or coffee and mince pies. And finally, for now, on Saturday the 18th, St Andrew's United Reformed Church on Glencrutchery Road here in Douglas have their Christmas coffee morning from 10 until 12 noon. Admission is just £1.50 and there'll be various stalls including homemade cakes, bric-a-brac and there'll be raffles too. And that's all that we have time for now, but there'll be lots more notice board news when I'm back tonight with Sundown. So do please join me from 9 o'clock when I'll be welcoming you into our virtual lounge to share a mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. And do please email me if you've got some news for the notice board or you'd like to request a favourite hymn. My email address is judithleigh@manxradio.com. So, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful Advent week, and a very good morning. The nation stays.